You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Live from a bunker in the heart of the Ozarks, a podcast that doesn't like scary movies, mostly so we can hang up on Ghostface quickly, it's SifPop. Welcome to SifPop Weekly, streaming live most Fridays, or available to download later in your podcast feed, unless, of course, you're a patron.
Pictures get perks.
Patrons get those perks.
Woo!
I'm your host, Aaron Dicer, and he's getting his Don King on, minus the everything. It's Andrew Ormsby, ladies and gentlemen.
I was about to say, ahoy!
Each week we'll chat about movies, TV, and whatever else from the pop culture universe is on our minds. How you doing, Mr. Ormsby?
Oh, good. I'm not Don King. I haven't murdered a couple people, you know.
Wait, hold on. I didn't want to get into all that necessarily, but it is true. There are many ways in which you are not Don King. That is a fact.
Only in America,
indeed. We've got an exciting show. We're not going to dilly-dally too long before getting into it. I do want to say, however, still coming down from a little bit of the Oscar buzz, and I just wondered if, before we get into things, if you had any, like, oh, I've processed this a little bit more, like, Oscar thoughts, you know, a week later.
I think this might be, like, the cleanest, best Oscars I can remember seeing. Like, it flowed well. I agreed with pretty much every single one. It's funny, I say I agreed with every single, like, winner, but this is the worst year I've ever done in our Sposcars poll.
Right, yeah.
But, like, everyone that I think should have won, and not everyone I thought was going to win. So it was nice in that regard.
Yeah, I think I kind of stuck with that as well. I was really impressed with the show. You know, I want more, right? Like, at the end of the day, I think what I missed the most are the montages. The only montage we had was paid advertisement, and which by the way is weird, because shouldn't they have to say that's a paid advertisement? Like, I don't know. I found that whole thing very strange. That whole Warner Brothers thing, very, very strange.
Yeah. I was like, okay, so it's 100 years for Warner Brothers. Is there anything else special?
Nope. Nope. Warner was just like, we're going to give... what I read up on it later, and I think it was like... I'm going to be inaccurate, so look it up yourself. But I remember hearing like $15 million was the cost to have one of those spots. And then Disney bought one for themselves for Little Mermaid. Even though it's they're paying themselves. And then Warner apparently bought one as well. And apparently they offered them to all the studios, to be fair. So I don't know. It was just weird. That was just the weird part for me. Other than that, I thought, like, it was really good. And then I just kind of come away wishing for just a little bit more. And
Always leave you wanting more.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Well, we don't have to. Go ahead.
I was going to say, another fun fact, this is the first year since 2007 that the movie I thought was the best of the year actually won Best Picture.
Ooh.
All the way back to 2007 with No Country for Old Men.
Wow.
Yes.
That is quite a ways back. I'll have to do that math for myself sometime. All right, well, let's get into it. We've got a couple movies to review. We've got ever challenge to do, and of course, some buried treasure at the end. Let's kick it off by talking a little bit about Creed 3.
Hey, my man, can I help you?
Let me get an autograph.
Nah, I ain't signing an autograph, but you get off my car.
You don't remember me, huh?
Damien. How long were you locked up?
18 years, bro. Just got out last week.
glad to have you back out, huh?
I know I've been away a long time, but I kept myself in shape. I still got gas in the tank.
Come by the gym.
Thank you.
Curious what happened with you two?
I didn't tell you.
We was like brothers.
I was the best, though. Man, I never got a chance to prove that.
After dominating the boxing world, Adonis Creed has been thriving in both his career and family life. When a childhood friend and former boxing prodigy Damian Anderson resurfaces after serving a long sentence in prison, he's eager to prove that he deserves his shot in the ring. The face-off between former friends is more than just a fight. To settle the score, Adonis must put his future on the line to battle Damian, a fighter who has nothing to lose. Mr. Anderson. The Creed movies are back, and there's a third one. Sylvester Stallone is nowhere in sight. However, of course, you've got Michael B. Jordan coming back as Creed, and you've got Jonathan Majors stepping in as Damian Anderson. What did you think? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
I liked it. Just straight up the middle liked it.
Yeah, this was an interesting one for me. I think I'm going to go with high side of just okay. I think it's where I'm going to land, a high side of just okay.
I get that.
And we'll get into a few more details here as we go, but why don't you start us off since you are in the liked it camp. Well, what did you like about Creed 3?
It's weird because I wouldn't say that I like this about the movie, but it pulled it off. I was worried how this franchise was going to move forward without Sylvester Stallone, you know? Mm. Like, is he going to be like the linchpin that holds this entire franchise together since he started it? Is it going to feel wrong that he's not here? And yeah, I noticed he wasn't there, but it's not like I felt like I was missing Rocky, you know, because at the same time, I think that it's beautiful that this movie's saying, okay, this is Adonis's story now, you know, moving forward. And I get the whole mentality of in order to move forward, you have to leave some of the past behind.
Yeah.
I don't know if like they're saying that Rocky's never going to come back, you know, but I will say that from me watching this movie, I think that it succeeded in moving forward without Rocky. It sucks that he's not here, but it's not like the movie's missing him. It's good enough as it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know that I missed Sylvester Stallone too much. I think it's fine for the issues I had with the movie, I don't think relate to not having Sylvester Stallone there. So yeah. I think it's good for franchises to be able to evolve. So yeah, I don't have necessarily an issue with Sly not being in the house for this one. What else did you like?
Michael B. Jordan directorial debut, coming in strong. Sure. Coming in strong. Some really good stuff. There's a sequence in here that I thought was very imaginative and very well done. And it's, you know, the final fight, but there's a sequence in it where they remove the audience and it's just the two of them and it's very intimate.
Yeah.
It reminded me, obviously, you, because I know you don't watch combat sports or anything, but whenever the pandemic was going, like the UFC had this thing called Fight Island, and they would have the UFC events, but it would only be the ref and the two fighters.
I remember hearing about
this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because, like, I've grown up my entire life watching fights, like boxing and MMA and stuff like that. And having that crowd interaction and just that roar has always been like a linchpin of, or not a linchpin, but like a, it's always been there for boxing, you know, like the crowd being involved and stuff. So whenever you remove that, like they did for Fight Island, it felt very weird, but also very intimate and personal. And that's kind of what that sequence reminded me of, just, and it fit very well for this story, you know, and, you know, the history between the two of them, because yeah, that's what the movie's saying. Like, yeah, it's for the world title, but at the same time, what's going on in this ring right now? It's just between the two of these guys.
Yeah, I liked some of those choices. Some of the other choices didn't quite work for me. But as far as a debut directorial performance goes, I think this is good. I'm excited to see what Michael B. Jordan wants to do outside of like his own stuff. Like, you know, this is kind of his franchise. I'd love to see him put his imprint on a movie that he's not acting in or not asked to carry in much of the way that he's asked to carry this. So yeah, but I thought he did fine.
Oh, I don't think he carries this movie. Like, I think Jonathan Majors is stellar.
No. You misunderstood. I'm not saying he did carry this movie. I'm saying he is the central character being asked to carry this movie or this franchise, even more specifically.
His
name in the title is what I'm saying.
So now I understand what you're saying.
So yeah. So in the future, I'd love to see him direct something where his character's name isn't the title of the movie. That's, you know,
sure.
That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
See kind of how that goes. I think the movie is hard for me to say I liked, but there are some moments in this movie that I was entertained by or captivated by. I think the boxing scenes in particular are shot very well, there's a lot of momentum to them. They're very entertaining. And there's a real energy when that is happening. When that's not happening, that's when all the stuff I'm not digging kind of bubbles to the surface. But during the boxing scenes, I'm like, okay, I get what we're doing here. And this feels, really energetic.
Mm, yeah. What about you? Get any positives besides that?
That was the primary one was the boxing scenes. And of course, Jonathan Majors, who is astounding in this movie and is just like marches his month, apparently, where he...
Yeah, seriously.
Shows up and steals movies. And it really a similar feel to how I talked about his performance in Quantumania. It's just, it's so good, but it almost feels like a shame that it's so good because the movie could have been so much better, in my opinion. But I think he's spectacular.
Yeah. It's not to say this movie is not without its issues, because there was a couple things in this. I'm like, okay, you clearly are undermining things that happened in previous movies for cameo sake. I hate to get into, it's not spoilerish, but it kind of is. I'll just say Victor Drago shows back up in this movie, and the way he's utilized felt very like, so... Are we just supposed to forget that second Creed movie ever happened? Because, like, the animosity between the two of them ran deeper than just the fight. Mm-hmm. That's personal family, trauma is what that is.
Yeah. No, I do agree with that. I don't know that it stood out to me too much, but I do agree with the point now that you're making it in that way.
Go ahead, sorry. No,
go for it.
I was going to say my biggest issue with the movie actually is centered around the Amara Creed, his daughter. Mm-hmm. And not her performance, because I think she's amazing in this movie. Please don't get me wrong. It's that they set up something, but they never committed to it. And that's how his daughter is like, getting in fights and stuff like that. And I thought that this movie was going to be all about when to fight, what to fight for, and all that stuff. And it was going to be like an actual interesting life lesson for his daughter, but also for him as well. But they kind of threw that at the wayside in lieu of the Damian Anderson character and that story arc. And I'm like, well, if you started something, finish it.
I think sometimes I totally agree. It was one of my biggest negatives of the movie was how undercooked that whole thing is.
Yeah.
And I think movies sometimes feel like, and maybe they're right. And maybe if you're in a different mood or a different perspective on the movie, maybe those scenes hit okay. But I think movies many times feel like, oh, it doesn't have to be about this. This can just be a little thing that happens, right? Like a little thing that, that is in the movie itself and not really something to be build the movie around. It just, it's just this fun little scene. But the way it sets up one scene specifically that I'm thinking of with the daughter, it just feels like that's supposed to be the underlying push, right?
And
it never gets there.
No. Actually, everything in this movie that wasn't centered around Damien and Adonis felt like it was just secondhand, didn't care about it. That's not really what... It's filler. Everything else besides right. the Damien and Adonis stuff just felt like filler. And like, no, you are missing out on some just key, like, potentially magical moments and important moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, it's frustrating in that regard. Felicia Rashad, who plays Marianne Creed, she's been great in the last several movies. I think she just steps it up even more in this one. So does Tessa Thompson. Since the first Creed movie, the chemistry between Michael B. Jordan and Tessa Thompson is just, like, magic. It's just on-screen brilliance. I love it.
Yeah,
they're really so good together.
Yeah, they are. They are. Some more of my issues. I think I'm going to very quickly just say one that I think everybody knows, which is it's hard for me to connect to machismo. Like, it's hard for me to connect to this idea of I'm going to beat you up for my family. You know, like, that's something that's hard for me to lock into. So the movie is starting from a little bit of a handicap when it's dealing with me watching a boxing movie or a war movie or whatever it might be. There are just some things I'm not going to connect to about that, about, you know, violence being the answer in any way, shape, or form. The main issue with this movie, as I continue to work my way through it, is just that it doesn't make any sense. And I hate for that to be the main thing, but there is so much that happens so fast in this movie because the movie needs it to, that just breaks in my mind all of my ability to say this is reality. Like, I can live in this reality. You know, the fact that Damian Anderson gets a title fight is ridiculous to me. Ridiculous. Oh, yeah, ridiculous.
What's the first Rocky movie?
What's the first? What do you mean?
That's literally the first Rocky movie.
Is what? Rocky?
Damian Anderson.
Rocky was in prison and then had a best friend, and that best friend got him a title fight?
No, but he was a nobody who got a title fight on his very first major fight.
I'm not saying a nobody can't get a title fight. I'm just saying the way it's done in this movie seems silly to me. And then there's more than just that, too. There's the element that I think we're supposed to come to the end of this movie and believe that both men have learned something and that both men are, you know, better. And I'm sitting here going, there is information that one of these men has that is character defining information that they choose to not say anything about. And like, the way it all happens, the Olympic skaterness of it all is, I don't know if that's safe to say, it's ridiculous to me, A, that nobody would see that as a possibility, and B, when they know that that's what happened, wouldn't do anything about it. Like, it's just, you don't have to go fight him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, so yeah.
Just stuff like that was, there was enough of that during the movie that I just was like, okay, I get it. We're making a movie here. You've got, you know, progression plot points you need to get to this, you know, big battle you want to have or whatever. But yeah, that stuff didn't work for me. So
yeah,
that's my main issue with Creed 3.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. 100%.
Any final thoughts on Creed 3?
No post-credit scene.
Fair enough. Do you think we'll see a Creed 4?
Yeah. Yeah, I think this franchise is going to continue to go forever. I think after they're done with Creed, we're going to go back in time to, like, the origins of Mickey and stuff like that, like back in the 40s and stuff. Like, have a Depression-era Mickey show after we're done with Creed. Yeah.
All right. Well, that is Creed 3. Let's move on to another sequel. Let's talk about Scream 6.
Six.
I have it written incorrectly. The M they did, like, they put the six in the M, and I'm like, oh, it's the first part of the M. No, it's the second part of the M.
Oh.
Yes. Scream 6.
This isn't like any other ghost face.
What is this place?
A shrine.
We've got to lure him in.
We execute him.
Hello.
Let's play a game.
You know you're like the 10th guy to try this, right? It never works out for the dipshit in the mask.
Maybe. But there's never been one like me, Gale.
Following the latest ghost face killings, the four survivors leave Woodsboro behind and start a fresh chapter in New York City. The sixth movie in the Scream franchise. What did you think, Andrew? Did you like it, love it, dislike it, hate it, or it was just okay?
Didn't see it.
You didn't see it. That is correct. This one is all on me. Now, you haven't. Have you watched any of the others?
I saw the first Scream not too long ago, but I barely remember anything about it.
Okay.
I think it ended with there were actually two Ghostface at the very end. And I understand, like, the Scream franchise is kind of like a meta commentary on the tropes of horror films and stuff like that. And that in some of them, like, the meta-ness got way out of control and out there. But from what I understand, like, the last one, Scream 5, was, from what I gather, a return to like a formula. Like, everybody's like, oh, Scream is back now. Scream 5 is great. So, Aaron, Scream 6, did you like it, love it, hate it, or it was just okay?
You forgot dislike it, but that is not my answer. My answer is high side of liked it.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I had a really good time with this. I think it's the best Scream movie since the first one. And there are many reasons for that. Let me just state right at the beginning that if you're going to come at me with some of the same kinds of things I came at you with on Creed 3, like, if someone wants to come at me and go, I was out because this doesn't seem realistic, I don't understand how the plot would go from here to here, this motivation doesn't make sense, blah, 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 let me just mea culpa. I agree. I totally understand. The difference with a movie like this is that I think that heightened reality of what this movie series / franchise is trying to be kind of allows for a little bit more ridiculousness in the viewing process. And so I'm able to give myself to a movie like this a little bit more because it's playing on that meta foundation. It doesn't really want to be taken seriously necessarily every step of the way. It wants to be a good slasher, but more importantly, it wants to be a good commentary on slashers. And I think it's actually both. I think this one is actually both. It's great to have Melissa Barrera and Jenna Ortega back as the sisters. I like their relationship. I think that as the heartbeat of kind of this new reboot, requel, whatever you want to call it, is good. There are some cameos that I don't necessarily want to give away, but I appreciated them. I like them. There are cameos from the other Scream movies. There are cameos from other horror movies in a similar way to Drew Barrymore in the first, is the first kill as like a star. They've kind of continued that. And the first kill in this movie is also somebody who I've really enjoyed in some recent horror films. So I appreciate that.
Oh, is it a blonde girl?
Yes. Usually,
I have a feeling. Does she look like a very famous famous actress?
I think you know who it is.
Yeah. Okay.
I've given it away to some people, and that's okay. And honestly, you know, we're talking about And by the way, we know we're a little bit late on both of these movies. We're catching up after Oscar weekend and Sif Swift a couple weeks ago. And by the way, we'll get to Shazam next week. Like, yeah, we are kind of catching up on this stuff. But so maybe many people already know this, but it's just interesting in a movie like this how it can continue to have the same quote unquote formula, but find little nuances. I think there's something that happens right after the very first kill in this movie that is kind of a gasp moment where the audience goes, and literally everybody in the theater, like many people in the theater, audibly gasped when it happened, because it's just something Ghostface is like, we've never seen Ghostface do. Now, there's a reason for that, and the movie goes some interesting places from that. But it's, I'm always impressed by the ability for this of this franchise to reinvent new ways to play with the format. And this movie does it really well. Plus, I like our core four here. I like this crew. Maybe a little bit too much. The movie, you know, this requel series has maybe set them up a little bit too much because, you know, we will all revolt if one of them dies. And that's not spoiling anything for this movie. I just mean going into this movie. You know, it's hard to, you know, set that up in that way. But, you know, the movie has permission to do it. It's killed off favorite characters before, and it can certainly do it again. And honestly, a movie like this can bring them back. It can figure something out if it wanted to. I found this really fun, really interesting, and a great continued meta commentary on the slasher genre. A genre I'm not necessarily a fan of. It's interesting. Scream was really the first slasher movie I watched and went, oh, I could get into this because it's you know, it's undercutting itself in many ways. It doesn't take itself so seriously because the thing about slasher movies that, you know, I've always said is, A, I'm not attracted to the violence. I don't, you know, the gore, the kills, that's never the thing for me, right?
Yeah.
If I want tension, I can get that from non-slasher films. There are great, tense Hitchcock films or other films that aren't slasher films where I don't have to put up with the gore and the violence. And I don't like being scared. It's not like one of my favorite emotions. Like, I don't enjoy being scared. So
it's weird, Aaron.
So this movie I can go into and go, I don't have to feel like I hate the movie because I'm not scared. Like, the movie isn't... It's trying to, quote unquote, scare me, but it's also trying to make me laugh. And so I can connect to the laughing part more than I connect to the scared part.
You don't feel so excluded.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I'm a part. I feel like, yeah, it's not these movies. Well, sometimes they do, but this one doesn't ever feel like it's trying to be smarter than the audience. It feels like it's just trying to give the audience a good time. Mm. And I never felt as an audience member, oh, I'm way ahead of this movie. In these movies, you are going to be ahead of the movie, but only because every single possibility is realistic, right? You, like, if your brain is functioning on the level of who's the killer, what's the motivation, what's the scenario, you're going to figure it out because it's going to be one of 25 different possible scenarios that you could figure out, you know?
Sure.
And it's kind of similar to a murder mystery in that way. It's, you know, slashers kind of have a murder mystery.
Agatha Christie-ness.
Element to them in that way. And I mean, slashers technically are literally murder mysteries. That's, you know, kind of what they are. They're multiple murder mysteries. They're serial killer mysteries. That doesn't flow off the tongue quite as well. I had a good time. I enjoyed Scream 6. Andrew, do you have any questions for me?
Not really. I know that's not what people want to hear, but, you know, like, A, it's a franchise I'm not familiar with, and B, it's a genre, even though I know I'm not saying I wasn't listening to a word you were saying. It's like, still though, it belongs in the horror franchise, and that's just something that I just have a difficulty just allowing myself to, you know, jump into because it's not my genre like you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely one of those that you kind of have to find your entry in, right?
Yeah. I guess the closest I could get, I appreciate horror films that are like really a commentary on something else, like It Follows or The Babadook or something like that. Like a horror film that is actually saying something or is a metaphor for something else. That's the kind of stuff that I really appreciate. But like, or it could be something meta, like Cabin in the Woods, you know, which I kind of gather is a little closer to what Scream is like, as opposed to like something like Blair Witch Project or any of those, like Friday the 13th or any of those other movies that
definitely more commentary towards, Cabin in the Woods kind of feel.
Yeah,
there are some differences between those two movies, but definitely some similarities as well. So,
yeah. Okay, here's a question for you. Sure. I know, like, this is the sixth Scream movie, and that this really ties into, was it last year or 2 years ago that the Scream 5 came out?
It was last year. That's another thing. This movie came out right away. Yeah.
Can I go from watching just the first one into the fifth and sixth one, or do I need to watch every single one?
I think it's rewarding to watch them all, but I think you can jump to five. I think you can. I wouldn't jump to six, but I think you can jump to five.
Yeah, because you said that, like, the Jenna Ortega character stuff, like, they're all introduced in the fifth one, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, there is a bit of story building
It will be much more rewarding if you've seen the other ones, just because especially this one really plays with the history of the Woodsboro murders in a complete way.
Yeah. So, but this doesn't take place in Woodsboro, does it?
No, this is in New York City. And, one of my complaints, and I guess I didn't mention any negatives necessarily, but one of my complaints is I don't know that the movie ever really takes advantage of being in New York City. Like, it doesn't. Mm. I mean, I guess there's a subway set piece, but other than that, it feels like it could have happened in Woodsboro. Like, I think that's a mistake. Like, if you're going to set it in New York City, make something specifically about it that, you know, works for that area.
Yeah, but how many horror films have you seen that trope go down? Like, Freddy Krueger in Vegas, or Freddy Krueger,
Jason in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, Jason in Manhattan, But, like, it's like, oh, where can we put him now? But from what you're saying, it sounds like if the story could have been told anywhere, then maybe it's not trying to be a cash grab for, like, ghost face in New York or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't necessarily have anything else to say about Scream 6.
Any post-credit scenes?
You know what? It's not my thing. So I don't remember if there's a post-credit scene or not. I do not believe there is, but I could be wrong about that. It wouldn't surprise me in a movie like this if there was. But I liked it. I liked it even more than I liked 5, and I liked 5 quite a bit. My order right now for the Scream movies is probably 1, 6. 5, 2, 4, 3. That's probably my order. So,
wow. There you go. I'm not saying I didn't like the first one. It's just it didn't stick with me. So that's my only thing.
Yeah.
Wasn't memorable.
All right. Before we head on to our best ever challenge, want to thank our amazing SifPop members. Thank you for being a member of SifPop. Thank you for supporting what goes on. Really cool what's going on at the website. In fact, we just launched a contributors page. If you want to see all the people who contribute articles, those kind of things, you can check those out, sifpop.com. And we can do that because of your support at Patreon, patreon.com/sifpop. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for considering it. Thank you for heading over there and even just taking a look. It really means the world to us. That is patreon.com/sifpop. Support starts at $3 a month, and you can check out all the information there.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, let's move into our best ever challenge. Best ever Roman numeral movies, Andrew. Yes. We will go number five to number one. These are the best ever movies that have Roman numerals in the title. And there are many.
Wait, what? No, honestly, I struggled. Because I did the thing where I only took one from each franchise.
Yeah, I did that too.
Oh, and by the way, speaking of for the patrons and the website and everything, there's a pretty fun article that I got a few ideas from where somebody was taking the best ever challenge for Roman numerals and a title. So I got a few picks from
the
website.
That's right. We're recording this after the article comes out on the website this time. So
cheated.
Can use our own website for information. All right, what do you got, Andrew, for your number five?
Number five, I have Evil Dead 2.
That's a good choice. Talk about it.
It's Sam Raimi. It's great old Bruce Campbell, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead. I mean, it's got great music. Speaking of like violence and gore, I can understand how this is off-putting to some people, but I think it's so cartoonish and like... out there and non-realistic that I don't find it as like vulgar or brutal or disgusting as I would like a Saw film or something like that. I think these are meant more to be funny than scary, and I think that the Evil Deads are just a fun franchise.
Are you excited about the new one?
Yeah, I am. I always, you know, what is it? What optimistically, like a pest or a, I'm skeptical but optimistic, so I'm pessimistic. that's the joke. Yeah, I'm pessimistic.
All right. Yeah. My number five. This is where I have Frozen 2. I enjoyed Frozen 2 quite a bit. It's one of those movies that maybe doesn't quite reach up to the peak of the first one, but gets really, really close. And I have a good time with it and enjoy it quite a bit. So Frozen 2, and it's got some really good songs in it too. And nothing's ever going to match the songs of the first Frozen and how much they took over the world. But Frozen 2 has some good ones. So that's my number five.
I disagree with everything you just said. I think Frozen 2 is better than the first Frozen. I think the songs in Frozen 2 are better than the first Frozen songs.
Nice.
I like everything about Frozen 2 more than the first
Frozen. I'm surprised I didn't get trumped then.
I know, yeah. Sorry. All right, number four.
What do you got at your number four?
A Quiet Place. Part two.
Yeah. I have that in my, it's like my first honorable mention. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's not as good as the first Quiet Place. I think that the first Quiet Place was a great commentary on, you know, family dynamics, you know, what it means to protect your family and stuff like that, like being a parent or, you know, the loss of a child and, you know, what that can do to a family. Quiet Place 2 didn't wrestle with as many, you know, big, like, life-altering struggles other than survival. But it was still fascinating, and I enjoyed going back to day one when everything, you know, happened. Yeah. So, there's a lot to love, or at least really like, about Quiet Place Part 2.
I agree. And like I said, would have been my first honorable mention. Yep.
Number four.
My number four is probably much lower than most people would have it, and you might trump it. But I have The Godfather Part 2 at number four.
First honorable mention.
Oh, that's right. I always forget that neither one of us like are like Godfather is the best movie ever kind of people.
I saw The Godfather Part 2 once when I was very young. I don't remember a thing about it.
It sounds like it's time for a rewatch.
Probably, but it's like 9 hours long. Who has that kind of time?
Yeah, yeah. And then if you put the Lord of the Rings in front of me, I'm all in. Let's go. Nine hours. Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Godfather Part Two is often in the conversation of best sequels ever made. I wouldn't put it necessarily there myself, but I do think it is an amazing film and an amazing follow up to an amazing film. So,
yeah,
worth a number four. What is your number three?
Real quick, we had an aside a month or so ago where one of us asked, has an actor ever won like an Oscar for playing the same character as somebody else who won an Oscar for that character?
Right.
Because we were talking about Joaquin Phoenix and Heath Ledger.
Right.
Both winning for the Joker. The only other character is Don Corleone, who the first time was Marlon Brando and then the second time was Robert De Niro.
Mm-hmm.
For the same character, so it's only happened twice.
Yeah.
I wanted people to know we follow up on all this stuff. So there we go. But my number three.
Yes.
Rocky II.
Oh, good choice. Good choice. Is that your favorite Rocky movie? Or at least your second favorite?
Yeah, second favorite, yeah. I love the first Rocky and then Rocky II and then Creed. Yeah. Rocky II, I think, is a very, very underrated sequel. I think that it really nearly lives up to the first one. Because like the first one, it does something that you don't see in boxing movies. It's not a boxing movie. That's what the biggest thing I'm worried about the Creed franchise is, that it's going to lean too much into boxing. When in reality, when you think of the Rocky franchise, it was a love story that had boxing in it. Mm-hmm. It was all about Adrian and Rocky.
Right.
And the highs to lows that the Balboas go on in Rocky II, like after that first Apollo Creed fight, it's devastating, and it just makes you root for him even that much more. And you're so excited that last little bit whenever he finally wins the belt.
Yeah.
Rocky 2.
Good choice. Let's see. My number three is a Roman numeral franchise. It is the Star Trek franchise, and I have Wrath of Khan at number three.
Khan!
Yeah, I thought you were going to say Trump. No. Maybe that should be the new Trump.
Khan!
This is my favorite Star Trek movie. And I think a lot of it has to do with Ricardo Montalban, and that performance is so captivating. Even as a kid, I just remember thinking this movie is so enthralling. The little earbugs have stuck with me for life.
Oh yeah.
So
to this day, yeah.
Yep.
We nope. Okay. So that was your number
three? That's my number three. So I think we're on to your number two.
Yeah. As far as Star Trek goes, I honestly think that the new one with Chris Pine, the first one, I think that might be my favorite Star Trek movie now. It's
really so good. It's really good. Yeah.
But a close second would be Wrath of Khan. Yeah. So,
yeah.
My number two, you might use your veto for this one.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. V for Vendetta.
Yeah. Does the V mean five for Vendetta?
He's the man from room five.
Okay. Then I'll count it. That's fine. Okay. If there literally is a double meaning with that V in the title, then I will count it. That's fine.
Yes. He is the man from room five. That's where the V comes from.
I thought it came from Vendetta, because it literally says V for Vendetta. I don't know how I came to that conclusion, but
five for Vendetta. There were five for the Vendetta. Five people who wanted Vendettas. Wait a minute. Hold up. Does he kill five people in that movie?
It doesn't. I've already granted it to you. Tell me how much you love V for Vendetta.
No, I really do. It is in my top like 30 movies of all time. I think the Hugo Weaving, he does something spectacular, and it's something that I see that could be so easily to mess up, and that is performing without ever showing your face, doing a full vocal performance in a live action film, and selling it behind a mask. Yeah. He's so good. He's so charismatic and charming. Natalie Portman's amazing. It's the Wachowskis, even though they didn't direct it, but they were so heavily involved in it. It's such a brilliant, beautiful movie. It makes me cry every time. Nice. That's my number two.
There you go. V for Vendetta. My number two is from the Rocky franchise. I have Rocky IV.
After Creed is one I love the most.
Yeah, it is. Rocky IV is my favorite Rocky movie, probably even more than the first one, just because of the nostalgia. It's just nostalgia. Yeah. It's just growing up in the 80s and watching Rocky IV and America versus Russia and all that stuff. And yeah. Rocky is a better movie. But Rocky IV, I think, might be my favorite. But it comes in at number two for me. I Will Break You. I think it's the best fight in the Rocky series, in my opinion. I just think the stakes are so ridiculous and so over the top, which is a different movie starring Sylvester Stallone. But yes, I really enjoy Rocky IV. That is my number two. I think we're ready for our number ones. What do you got?
Empire.
Me too.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back. Star Wars V. The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, that's my other Star Wars V for Vendetta, Empire Strikes Back.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, surprise. Was anybody really surprised? I actually just rewatched this the other day. It's funny how I'm always finding myself rewatching movies the week before, like, I know it's going to be on a best ever challenge. Mm-hmm. It's very supernatural, Nostradamus like of me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. It's very well done. Very well done. Let's talk honorable mentions. What do you got in your honorable mentions? You said you really didn't have a bunch, so
honestly, the only one I had was Godfather Part II. And then every other Star Wars or Rocky or Star Trek or Evil Dead. I made sure to choose only one from each franchise. So
yeah, same for me. I had Men in Black 2. I think is a good film. Wanted to mention that one. Back to the Future Part 3. I really enjoy quite a bit.
Does Back to the Future 2 not have Roman numerals?
It does, but I like 3 better.
Okay. No, it was just like everybody else had Roman, because whenever I was looking it up, the only one that came up was 3. So I didn't know if 2 was an actual.
Maybe not. I don't know. I thought I did. I recently saw Beverly Hills Cop 2, which has the Roman numeral 2 in it. And
it's a different movie from the first one.
It is a very different movie from the first one. And I don't know that I don't. It's weird. I put it in here just because I just recently watched it and am still kind of processing it. But honestly, I'm not sure I like it.
Yeah.
It's just like somebody turned Eddie Murphy up to 20, you know, and was like, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one. And then Henry V. I wanted to mention.
Kenneth Branagh. I need to see that.
Yep. Henry V has the V. Henry V, as it were, comes in my honorable mentions. Well, I think it's time for the buried treasure. What do you got?
I'm going to go with something I'm not recommending because you've opened up this new gateway for me. I thought we were only supposed to have buried treasures be things we loved, but then you showed me the other day. So now I'm going to tell you guys to stay away from the new Netflix show Outlast.
Oh, why is it terrible?
Oh my gosh. I thought it was going to be like Alone, you know, like it was going to be like survival in Alaska. This is such a terrible, horrible, honestly, painfully obviously scripted reality TV.
Oh, those are the worst.
Yeah, it's Alone, except it's teams, and the teams aren't made up of survivalist experts and stuff like that. There's like a one of them could be a survivalist and then an interior decorator or a bartender or something. Like it's like one person who has those skills and then another person who is nothing like that at all. So it's so frustrating. So I will recommend you all check out Alone, but stay away from Outlast.
See, that's
Alone is a great show.
That's how you do a negative buried treasure. What you do is you turn it on its head. You say, this thing is terrible, but here's the buried treasure. Go see Alone. And I totally agree with that, by the way. Alone is an amazing show.
Yeah. Really
enjoy watching it.
What you got?
I checked out recently History of the World Part 2.
Is it all out?
No, but I'm through, you know, the first four episodes or whatever. Oh, I think they released two a day for most of last week. So it may all be out now, actually. I just haven't necessarily caught up on all of it.
Gotcha.
It's really funny. It's very much Mel Brooks, by the way, almost a centurion. A centurion? Centenarian.
Centenarian.
I think it's centenarian. Whatever. He's almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
And still having a role in this. He's not necessarily acting in the ones that I've seen. He is, however, kind of introducing and making jokes. And it's fun to see. I also recently saw Dick Van Dyke on The Masked Singer.
He's 97. What is he doing dressed up as a giant? Was he a troll or a gnome? He was a gnome.
It was the best. It made me so happy. That guy makes me so happy.
97 years old. What was he doing under there?
Oh, if only. If I make it to 97, I will see the 70s. I will see the 70s again. That'll be fun. Anyways. And this time, and is what's funny is in neither time I'll probably have much memory of it.
That's kind of how I am with like the mid 80s. I'm like, I don't remember a lot of it.
Yeah. So the show itself is really funny. The sketches are funny. Lots of hilarious people in this. But you have to know the humor is not going to be dialed into the frequency most humor is these days. It's a different frequency of humor. It's very much the Mel Brooks, you know, Blazing Saddles, that kind of stuff, Young Frankenstein. Good. Like it's different. It's closer to Weird Al than it is, you know, I'm trying to think of a modern...
like a Seth Rogen movie
exactly.
Like that.
Yeah. So just be aware. It might strike you as a little bit overt and cheesy and strange. But man, if you give yourself to it, it's some of the concepts are really, really funny.
That just sounds so exciting for me because I wanted it. I was afraid that they were going to try and like, oh yeah, it's Mel Gibb or a Mel Brooks property, but we're going to bring it to the modern audience with the modern comedy. And I was like, no, the only way it would work is if you did it like Mel did it. And if he's going to be doing the show, you don't tell him. Mel Brooks has got to be like one of three people in all of Hollywood who, if they ask you to be in something, you're legally obligated to say yes.
Yes.
Like him, Clint Eastwood, and Spielberg. Like if any of those three guys ask you if you want to pee in something, you legally have to say yes.
I'd recommend it. Check it out. I mean, you'll know by the end of the first episode. I don't think this isn't one of those where I will tell you, hey, stick with it. It gets like you'll fall in love with it by the third one. Like if you don't like the first episode, just move on. Move on with your day. Like maybe that frequency of humor just isn't going to work for you. And that's fine. For me, I laughed a lot. So that's History of the World. Part 2, that is on Hulu, and Alone is on the Discovery Channel.
Alone is. Outlast is on Netflix. Stay away. Stay away. Is the first History of the World on Netflix as well? Or, I mean, Hulu?
Good question. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
If it is, I'd probably like to watch it before getting into
the series.
Yeah,
if you've never seen History of the World Part 1.
It's just been forever.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You should see it. And that's what's hilarious about History of the World Part 1 is it was called History of the World Part 1 and there was never intended to be a Part 2.
Yeah.
And now there is. Well, we did it, Andrew.
Woo!
We managed to do a podcast.
Yeah, it did.
Congratulations. Thanks so much for joining us today for Sif Pop. It's part of the Studio DNA Podcast Network. You can find out more about other shows on the network at studiodna.media or by searching Studio DNA in your podcast player. Huge thanks to Andrew for hanging out today.
Thank you, buddy.
Big thanks to producer Phil for producing the audio and video show.
Thanks, Phil.
Much love to our Sif Pop members for giving monthly to make Sif Pop a real thing. I really appreciate you. Support starts at $3 a month. Check out all the details at patreon.com/siftpop. Lots of ways to connect with the podcast. To leave a comment, a rating, or a review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you listen. You can always email us if you like. That's feedback@siftpop.com. And finally, if you're having a good time, your movie-loving friends will probably like the show too. So make sure you let them know about it and that listening is much easier than not letting Jonathan Majors steal a movie out from under you. We will be back next week with Shazam 2 and 65, and we will see you then.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.